Book of Exodus, chapter 6, starting from verse 1. If you remember last week, Moses talked to the elders and they were excited. And then Moses went to Pharaoh and told him his plan. Pharaoh didn't like it. And then Pharaoh put more taskmasters, and they were given more work, no straw. They had to make a brick exactly they used to make, and they were frustrated. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1.
Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land.
Moses went back to God and complained to God, if you remember in the last chapter, chapter 5, last couple of verses, and he complained to God that you did not deliver the children of Israel, and you did not set them free, and more problem came to them. And so he was a little bit disappointed. But God is saying, Pharaoh will let you go, and the time is coming. And so God is encouraging Moses, don't give up. Pharaoh is not going to keep you in his country. He will let you go. Verse 2.
And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers.
Now here God is starting like this, saying to Moses, I am the Lord. That means I am the master, I am the Lord, I am the one who has the power or Pharaoh over everyone. And he says, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they know my name, God Almighty. But I never revealed myself to them, Jehovah. And so he is trying to say, I am not only Almighty God, I am not only Lord, but I am the one who can save your people from the land of Egypt. Because he says, I established my covenant with Abraham. I promised him, and I am going to keep my promise. And I told them that I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. I promised them, and I will keep my promise, and I will give them the land. So in short, he is trying to say, I am the Lord, I am Almighty God, I am Jehovah, and I keep my promises. So when I send you there and Pharaoh didn't listen, do not give up. What I said, I will do it. Verse 5.
And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant.
Then he said, this is not the first time he's repeating, God is repeating several times. I have seen their groaning. I have seen their problems, and how the Egyptians are keeping them in bondage, slavery. I have seen this. And last time, God even said, I have come down to help you. And Moses, he said, I'm going to go down with you. So, but sometime when the people have problems, they forget the promises. God promised to Moses. He talked to Aaron. He gave them three miracles to prove it to the Israeli elders. Israeli elders saw the miracles and they were happy. They worshiped the Lord. They were happy. And now the story changed because Pharaoh is not listening. Moses comes to God and complains. So God is trying to encourage his faith. I did not disappoint your Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. So all of these people, I was with them and I never disappointed them. I made the covenant. I'm going to keep my covenant. And I personally came to know what Pharaoh is doing. So I am going to deliver these people. Verse 6.
Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments.
Now he said, tell the children of Israel. Now Moses is a little bit annoyed. I already told the children of Israel, but he says, tell them, I am the Lord. I will bring you out of the Egyptians' bondage, and I will redeem you, and I will bring you with a strengthened hand and great judgment. That means not only I will deliver you, but I will judge those people who persecuted you, who made you slave. So just trust in me. I'm going to judge those people. I'm not going to let them go. Verse 7.
And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord.
Again he is trying to say, I will take care of you. I will make you a special people. And you will be my people. I will bring you out of the bondage. I promise Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you, inheritance. And then say, I am the Lord. So again he's saying, don't worry. I am the Lord. I'm in charge of everything. I'm going to take care of this. And you will be special people in my eyes. He's not going to take care of Egyptians equally like he was taking care of Israeli people. Read the Exodus. We will be reading, but read Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. God made these Israeli people as his special people.
Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel.
So this is what God was trying to encourage Moses. You are not ordinary people. I made you people like my own people, my own children, my own special people. And so you are special people than anyone in the world. And that's what the promise God is making to the children of Israel. And when you are talking to God face to face, and God is encouraging you this much, why should be worrying? Now today people are saying, God is not talking to me. And when I am discouraged, I am not having the same experience like Moses and other ministers. They used to talk to God face to face. Today we have the Bible. Bible is the word of God. Ministers of the gospel, when the believers call and say, Pastor, this is the question, or this is I am puzzled with, they are going to answer you. They are going to encourage you through the word of God. And so God is speaking to us. Not only that, God can speak to you through the dreams and visions, and even you can hear the voice. God is not so far distant today. Before that, people thought God is far away God. But now we know God came from heaven. God the Son came from heaven. He took the form of man. He lived with us 33 and a half years. And he said, I'm not going to leave you helpless or fatherless. I'm going to send you the comforter. That comforter will be teaching you and reminding you, take you in all truth. Not only that, he said, I am not going to leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you all the time. So we have much more blessings than these Old Testament people. Old Testament people, God used to talk to certain people, prophet or priest. Today, He is talking to each and every believer. There is nothing that hindrance for the children of God. Jesus Christ broke the middle wall of partition, and through his blood, now we have freedom to go to the presence of God. So God was talking then, and he is talking today. Then he said to these people, you are peculiar people, you are special people, you are my people, and he promises them, but today we are much more blessed than the Old Testament people. That is not my subject, but I already made the CD on this subject. The point I'm making, right now, God is encouraging Moses, you are my special people, and I have made you my own people. Okay, let's go to the Exodus chapter 6, verse 9.
And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses, for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage.
Now God says, go and talk to the children of Israel. I am God. I am Almighty. I am Jehovah. And explain to these people. And he comes and tells his people, this is what God spoke to me. But what's happening, they could not hear Moses. They do not want to listen. He said, that's enough. We heard from you last time, and now our burden is more than before. We are crushed. Our spirit is crushed. And we are now in cruel bondage more than before. Why should we listen to you? That's what happens. People get some problem from somebody one time, and they just make a flat statement. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to associate with you. I'm done with you, and I'm finished with you. We should never do that, because that is not the forgiving spirit. We have to learn people make mistake. And sometimes people say, oh, but they did not confess. They did not say, I'm sorry. Why should I forgive them? We do our part. We keep on forgiving. And Jesus Christ will change their heart. They will figure it out. I was nasty with this person several times, but he graciously still helping me or still loving me, and their heart will be changed. And so these Israeli people, they became so bitter, and they didn't want to hear Moses' voice. But he says, because of their hard burden and cruel treatment they got it from the Pharaoh. Verse 10.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips?
Now here, God is saying, okay, your people don't listen. Go to Pharaoh and talk to him. People are thinking sometime, if my own children do not listen to me, how can I be minister? Or if my own people don't listen from my church, how can I go and do ministry to somebody else? And that's what the stumbling block comes. And people get disappointed that they have no good image. That's why some people are offended by someone or some person. For example, if somebody was dating somebody, and that person turned that person down, and then you get disappointed, I don't want to talk to anybody. And then you say, okay, I'm going to talk to the second person. And they start the second person, then second person turns them down. And they said, they just give up. They said, this is it. I am not an effective person. Nobody likes me, and I cannot do this, and things like that. The person has to think there are hundreds and thousands of people. All people are not same. You got two bad customers, two bad friends, doesn't mean there is no friends at all in the world. That's why God is trying to teach him, why you worry? Your people don't listen, don't worry, they will listen someday. They have to see some miracle power of God. When Jesus Christ came to his own, St. John chapter 1 verse 11, they didn't listen to him. He didn't say, my people do not listen to me, I'm not going to do anything. The word of God says he went to people and he talked to them. He healed them, he delivered them, he set them free. Jesus Christ keep on doing his work. Even though they didn't like it, many synagogues, he went. And people try to push him out, accuse him, make fun of him. He is the son of Joseph. He's a carpenter. Who gave him this much knowledge? And all kinds of things. Jesus Christ was not disappointed. The word of God says he was looking unto the goal he had. He had one thing in his mind. My Father sent me to die on the cross of Calvary, give the message of salvation, healings, and deliverance, and deliver them from the death penalty. That was his goal. And that's what he was going and telling other people. Many people think Jesus Christ didn't want to go to cross. Many ministers are saying, because when after the communion, Lord's Last Supper, he told his disciple, wait here, and he went away. He said, stone throw that distance. Now, if you are a healthy man and you can throw a stone, little bit stone, it can go 100 feet or maybe more than that. And so he went far away and he prayed. And he was praying and he started sweating the blood. And so he knew that he is going to die. He said to his disciples, spirit is willing, but flesh is not. And he says he feels like he is going to die. And so he prayed to God, let this cup away from me. Now people are thinking this cup means he didn't want to go to cross. He did not say, I don't want to go to cross. Devil tried to kill Jesus from his childhood many times. But that was not the will of God. God wanted Jesus Christ to go on the cross. Why cross? Because the word of God says, whoever hangs on the cross, he's a curse. And so Jesus Christ wanted to redeem you from the curse of the law. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, it says, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse started when Adam committed sin. And so Jesus Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law. But the devil wanted to kill him in Gethsemane. So he prayed three times. And he says, not my will, but thine will be done. And so the many people start thinking God did not listen to his prayer. Because he asked that, take the cup away. And God says, I'm not going to hear your prayer. And you're going to die. If that happens, that means God was forcing him to go to cross. He was not forced to go on cross. He went willingly. And he said to Pilate, you have no authority to set me free. I'm giving my life willingly. And I have power to take it back. So Jesus Christ was not asking God, I don't want to go to cross. I don't want to die on the cross. What he was asking? He was asking, I am bleeding right now. And this bleeding starts continuously. I'll be dead. Because no person will be stay alive if he start bleeding. And so God heard his prayer. And where is the proof? Let's go to the Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7.
Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared.
See, save him from the death. And so he prayed, how? With the tears, with the loud voice, and the word of God says God heard his prayer, what he was praying. I do not want to take this cup. What cup? Dying in the Gethsemane. He delivered him from the death. If he delivered him from the death, that means he didn't know how to go to cross. But he went to cross But what kind of death he delivered? Dying in the Gethsemane. And so some people, I don't want to tell their name, some people said, God sometimes answers your prayer, sometimes he doesn't. God did not answer Jesus' prayer. But there is not a single word in the Bible, Jesus called upon God and he never answered him. This time in a Gethsemane, this is the prayer he did. This prayer he did not do anywhere else. This prayer he did it in Gethsemane, and God heard him and delivered him from the death. So he was able to go to cross. You remember after Gethsemane, he was bleeding, but still he was arrested, he was beaten, and he didn't die. Otherwise he was bleeding, and all the bleeding, and he is weak, and he might die before he goes to cross. So he said, God, I don't want to die this way. He knew the persecution is coming, the imprisonment is coming, and they are going to beat me more, and they are going to hang me on the cross, and I'll be there for hours. So I need strength. And so he told his disciples, please pray for me. They were sleeping. But this is what his will was. And so sometimes people think God is not listening. But God is there to listen every prayer. But the word of God says, whatever you ask according to his will, he'll hear you. So Jesus prayed, God listened. So now, I'm just saying, God is trying to tell Moses, you go. But he's saying, my people don't listen. How the Pharaoh is going to listen? But God is the one can change the hearts of people. You saw stubborn people praying for them. They don't want a part of Jesus. They don't want part of Bible. As soon as they see you, they get angry. And you say, Lord, I don't think this person can come to God. You just start praying, fasting. You will be surprised. That person will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If he doesn't come in your lifetime, he might come after your death. But prayer will be answered. I never saw somebody prayed for somebody's salvation and that person didn't come. Maybe sometimes they die, but before they die, they might have made up their mind and call upon Jesus. We never know until we go to heaven. So here we see God is encouraging Moses, and God was available. Each time he went to God, God talked to him. Now just think, he goes to God and he's frustrated and God doesn't answer him. What would happen? His ministry will stop right there. God is not listening. I don't know what to do. But God answered him every time. So when you have problem, what you do? Go to God. You keep on praying. Things looks like a mountain. Don't give up. Now Moses is frustrated, but God is going to encourage him. He's saying, you know what? My people don't listen. How am I going to talk to Pharaoh? And he says, I am uncircumcised lips. Means he said, my lips are not changed, my transformed. I still talk like a stuttering lips. I talked to you before, and I told you I cannot talk to anybody. And you said, okay, Aaron will come and talk with you. But right now, I have no courage to go to Pharaoh. My lips doesn't work, and my heart is not changed. My mind is not changed. I don't think I can do this kind of job. And he's just trying to say, I cannot do it. And see what God is saying. Go back to the Exodus chapter 6, verse 13.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt.
Now God is saying, they don't listen, I'm going to make you in charge of those people. Means they have no choice. You are going to be their boss. And not only there, you're going to be boss of Pharaoh. I give you Pharaoh in your hands. I give you all the children of Israel in your hand. They cannot do anything because I made you their lord or bosses. So don't worry. Read the verse 14.
These be the heads of their fathers' houses, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel. Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi, these be the families of Reuben. And the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, and Jamin, and Dohad, and Jachin, and Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanitish woman. These are the families of Simeon. And these are the names of the sons of Levi, according to their generations, Gershon, and Kohath, and Merari. And the years of the life of Levi were 137 years. The sons of Gershon, Libni, and Shimei, according to their families. And the sons of Kohath, Amram, and Izhar, and Hebron, and Uzziel. And the years of the life of Kohath were 133 years. And the sons of Merari, Mahalai, and Mushai, these are the families of Levi according to their generations. And Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years.
I was thinking why this genealogy is given, and it's not given all 12 Israeli people, 12 tribes. He just given a couple of people's name. Mainly, he's talking about Levites. And he's talking about the Levites' family. And then again, verse 20, he's talking about in this Levites' family, Amram took his wife, Jochebed, his father's sister. We learned that before, but he's trying to say, these are the Aaron and Moses God made a leader, not anybody else. God establishing here, I have chosen these two people coming from this man and this woman. And these are the two people are going to be leaders. God is not going to say all 12 tribes, you will be leader in your tribe. But on the top of that, I am going to make Aaron and Moses is a leader. So people sometimes do not give respect to pastor, respect to assistant pastor. But the word of God says when God set these people in the ministry, they are equal to brothers and sisters. But when they are doing the ministry, they have to give them respect. And they are the one God is using them or choosing them. Verse 21.
And the sons of Izhar, Korah and Nepheg and Zichri. And the sons of Uzziel, Mishael, and Elzaphan, and Zithri. And Aaron took him Elisheba, daughter of Amminadab, sister of Nashon, to wife, and she bare him Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And the sons of Korah, Asir, and Elkanah, and Abiasaph. These are the families of the Korahites.
Now the Korahites and Levites coming from the same family. Okay, go ahead.
And Eleazar, Aaron's son, took him one of the daughters of Putiel to wife, and she bare him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers of the Levites according to their families.
Now, he's just trying to say the head of the Levites' family. Okay, verse 26.
These are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies.
See, now this is what he's saying. These are that Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel. So these are the people, two people selected, and these are the people, two people are going to take these people out of the Egypt. And now he's saying, and their armies. Now, we don't know, these all Israeli people were trained to be armies, but later on they were trained and they became the army of God later on. But here he's saying now these are the people and all these Israeli people coming out of the Egypt. Okay, verse 27.
These are they which spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron.
Again he's establishing, because in future they should not be fighting about the leadership. So he's saying these are the people I chosen, Moses and Aaron. And these are the people went to King Pharaoh. These are the people are delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. So remember Moses and Aaron. And he's establishing these two servants I'm going to use for this project. Okay, verse 28.
And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee.
Now, this says, this day means the day God talked to Moses, that you go to Pharaoh and tell them, let my people go. And this is the day that God said, okay, I remember all your genealogy. Can you imagine God keeps the track of your family and you and your children and your grandchildren and your age, what day you died and what day you will live? Everything he's talking to Moses, that gives Moses a little bit courage that my God knows everything about us. Detail about our family, detail about our children, detail about my parents' age and what day and what month they died or what year they died. Everything is recorded in his book. When I was young, I started thinking, how big will be the God's book? Whole worlds record his keeping, how big will the book? But now we know, when the computer came and gigabytes and these things came, now we know it is possible for God to keep the record of the whole world. It's not impossible. And so God is saying that the day God talked to Moses and gave him the command, the day Moses said, I am not able to go, I am the uncircumcised person, and that's why God was giving all this history of his people and his generation and how God has selected you. You are special in this, all Levites people and all your relative, I have called you. You remember, some people are very proud. They said, in my family, I was the first one to graduate and go to college. I'm in my first family to be a doctor degree holder. I'm in my first family to traveling abroad. Everybody has that kind of pride. So each and every person brag about what God has done for them. God is talking to Moses, you know what? All this family, 70 people came to Egypt, and so many people died. But God gave Moses and Aaron chance to deliver these people. And when I was reading his father's age, and I thought that when they delivered the people of Israel from Egypt, his father was still alive, according to the ages given. Because Moses was 80 years old when he went to deliver the children of Israel, but his father was much more older than him, so I think he was still alive. I don't know if his mother also was alive or not, but she might be. The point I'm making, the father and mother decided, I'm going to take care of my son. Even the Pharaoh wants to kill my son. They said, throw your children in the water. We are not going to listen to Pharaoh, because this is a beautiful child, and maybe they saw a future in this child. This might be our deliverer. This might be our leader. This might be the child who can deliver us from the Egypt. And some kind of inspiration they had. So the word of God says, by faith, it says in book of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Moses' mother kept him. And by faith, Moses also declared that, I don't want to be Pharaoh's son. I don't want their luxury. I'm going to be suffering with my people or with the children of God. And so we see this Moses' mother and father, even though Moses ran away from Egypt, 40 years they didn't have any clue. Can you imagine today? We have satellite system. They can find from the satellite and tell you where the dime is. So today we can find anybody anywhere. 40 years, no letter, nothing. Mother might be still praying. Lord, I know by faith I preserved my son. I want him to be leader. Bring him back wherever he is. One day came and God spoke to Aaron. Aaron, I talked to your brother Moses. Go and meet him, and both of you going to deliver the children of Israel. That time, Aaron didn't say, who are you, God? Where were you up to now? 40 years, my brother went away, and we don't know anything. But God says that was not time. Do you know when Moses was trying to deliver the children of Israel, that time they were not 400 years past? God says, after the 400 years only, I will bring you out. So when Moses was trying to deliver people ahead of time, 400 years were not past. Just like Abraham, ahead of time he went and married Hagar, the God's timing was not there. Sometimes we go ahead of God and make a mistake. And so God said, fourth generation or the 400 years, I will not deliver you. And so there were no 400 years. That's why Moses left. When Moses comes back, now 400 years almost passed. That's why Moses came back and God brought him back. God never forgets his promises, but sometimes we make mistakes. I was reading about this Abraham, and I told you when we were studying, there was no reason Israeli people to go back to bondage. But that was just Abraham's silly mistake. God told him to bring the sacrifice, and he brought the sacrifice noonday. And all the birds coming and he chasing the birds, and they are defiling the offering. And then the horror came, and the night darkness came, and then God told him, now I'm going to send your children to Egypt, but I let you die with old age. So sometimes we make a mistake and God's project delays. So the word of God said that day God talked to Moses, that's the time he encouraged him and gave him genealogy and told him, you are the one I have chosen. Okay, let's read verse 30.
And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me?
He is not talking to God second time. He says, because he said that in Exodus chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Please read.
Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips?
Now, he said, that's the day God talked to him, when he talked to God. Can you imagine? God came to rescue Moses, encourage him the same day he was disappointed. And I said earlier, if God didn't come and rescue Moses and didn't talk to him, and he goes to his people, he said, you know what? You people don't listen to me. I went to God and I talked to God. God doesn't listen to me. What am I going to do? Then they're going to say, you are the one cause. God never talked to you. God never said anything to you. You want to be leader? Kill this Moses. And they would have taken care of him. But God really talked to him when he was disappointed. The people were not listening. He got frustrated. God says, I'm going to deliver. The next chapter you read a little bit. Let's read a little bit then. But the next chapter, he is giving him a little bit more detail what he's going to do.
And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet.
See, before that he said, I made you a boss, a lord over these people. Now he says, I made you a god over the Pharaoh. Can you imagine? He says, all the Pharaoh's god will not do anything to him, but you will be Pharaoh's god. He has to be afraid of you. And your brother will be prophet. And don't worry about your uncircumcised lips. I am going to be with you and with your brother Aaron.
Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land.
Now this time, he's not saying, please let us go for 3 day journey. Let our people go out of this land. We don't want to stay in your country. We are fed up. We want to get out of here. And you go and talk to the Pharaoh face to face. And then he tells him what are the miracles God is going to do. But there also, he did not give him the list of the miracles. He just told him, we are going to do miracle, and I'm going to bring you with a mighty hand and the strong hand. And so once God spoke to Moses and told him, because sixth chapter doesn't finish like that, and if somebody read the sixth chapter, Moses is frustrated. He doesn't know what to do, and he cannot go to his people, and God is not answering, and God is not giving 100% answer what to do. But in this chapter, chapter 7, we start. God gave him instruction. Now I'm going to make you guard of Pharaoh. Your brother will be prophet, and you're going to do some signs and wonders and miracles. Up to now, there was not a single miracle done. They just went and talked to Pharaoh, and he didn't listen. Now, this time, they are going to do a miracles. And I believe, children of Israel, when first time Moses went, they doubled their work, means they sent the taskmaster, no straw will be given, make the equal bricks you made before, and the burden was so severe. This time, when the Moses goes, after that, every day, you will have miracle after miracle after miracle. And I don't think Pharaoh's servants, taskmaster, had any chance to go and tell these people to make extra bricks. Just think, they supposed to give them water, the clay, the mud, to bring the water, and the first miracle start with the bloody rivers and bloody lake, right? So how are they going to make the bricks with the blood? I believe when their work stop and one after another miracle start happening, you will see the children of Israel will be happy, and they had more respect for Aaron and Moses, and we will see their journey later on. Shall we rise? So don't give up. Problem might come, but what we do? Go to God. And He is the answer. He will give you the solutions. He will give you the directions. He will never disappoint you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, You are a great God. You are a miracle working God. You are going to use Your people. Give us grace. We commit ourselves into Your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.